What's going on, podcast? I'm super excited about this episode with Miss Lila Smith, Say Things Better Communication Method creator and speaker. She's a communication breakthrough coach, and we had a pleasure to meet a couple of months ago in Dallas, and we dive into a lot of different things pertaining to Lila's incredible story, how she moved from New York to Dallas based on LinkedIn network encouragement, and how she transitioned from being an actress to the consultant and a communication coach that she is today. So super, super pumped. Looking forward to hearing what you guys think. Cheers.
This is the Tomas Show, your source for personal and professional development.
Welcome, everyone. This is Tomas here. Welcome to another episode of The Tomas Show. I'm very, very excited to sit down today with one of my good friends that I've been fortunate to develop a relationship with over the last couple of months. And I think from the moment that I've met her, she started making an impact on me immediately. That impact was simply felt. And we're going to dive into that amongst other things. But I just want to welcome Lila Smith on the podcast. I'm so thankful that you're here today.
Thank you for having me. And it's interesting hearing you say that immediately upon meeting me, I made an impact on you, because that's what those are almost the same words that I've been saying about you since I met you, since you came to see me at WeWork Plano. And there was just this like zing energy.
Yeah.
That thing that you can't describe, like, well, I mean, I can describe it because I've seen your UMAP and you've seen mine. Like, we have different zings, but together those zings were amazing.
No. And I was, I think it's for the context of the listeners, I think we should highlight perhaps how we met, because I think that would be very, very interesting. So Lila has been very, I mean, she's one of the social media influencer. She has her own business. She's an entrepreneur. But I think if you guys don't follow her on LinkedIn, you should. And that's how I got a hold of her, basically, because of her very, very great, powerful content that she's producing, because of her engagement and the community that she has established. And what I didn't realize that is that Lila actually lives and works locally. So I felt like, you know what? This is a great opportunity for me to get to know someone that really, you know, produces some quality stuff, that has a great business. It's right up my alley. I love the topic of communication and saying things better, which is obviously the name of your brand and your business. But I just said, you know what? I need to reach out to her and just say, you know, I'm sure she gets a lot of messages, but just test the waters. And you were generous enough to accept the invitation to grab coffee. So I was very thankful for that.
I was thankful that you asked. You know, not everybody in my sphere actually does like reach out to see if I want to spend time with them just socially, just to build a relationship. A lot of times, you know, the requests that I get, I mean, I'm very fortunate to have a lot of people looking to work with me. So obviously I want those inquiries. I want those, hey, how can I give you money to help me say things better?
Yeah, for sure.
Keep those coming. Very happy to have those. But I also get a lot of like, hey, can you comment on my post? Hey, can you give this a quick like? Hey, you know, I'd love like a 15-minute networking call, or like, hey, I just would love to get to know you better. And like, look, I would love to have the time to get to know 30,000 followers.
For sure.
But I don't have that time in the day because I'm working and also, you know, the rest of my life. What was different about the way that you reached out, and this is a really good lesson for all the listeners of all ages who are hearing this, because everybody's going to make a request at some point of somebody else, was that you really treated me like a communication partner, which is the Say Things Better term. It means that the person you're talking to or listening to has equal footing and equal rights and equal value in a communication event to you. And when you show up, it's your responsibility to make sure they know that you feel that way. And when you messaged me, you already had done your homework. You already had looked at my profile. You called out some things. You engaged with my content. You commented on some stuff. You found out that I was local, meaning like you actually had looked at my profile and seen some things. And you said, hey, here's what I really appreciate about what I've seen about your work. Tell me more about intentional communication. Is it really from theater? That's really interesting. Are you actually in Dallas? Like, I would love to meet up. I'll come to you. You made it really easy. And you showed me that you were invested before I even had a chance to say anything to you. And you showed up already in the relationship. And that's what made it fast forward to, you know what, I'll do anything to meet up with a guy like this, to have this kind of a person, this go-getter, this person with command of space and relationship skills in my network and in my circle of friends. Because I moved to Dallas, not just for a professional opportunity, but because in New York, where I'm from, there was this isolating thing that happens when you're in a place where a lot of people have a scarcity mindset, where you're trying to survive, when you have to do what it takes just to be at the very, very, very top of your game, or else there's no chance for you to even live. That's what it feels like. When they say it's a rat race, you know, it's not just about the competition to be the best. If it was about the competition to be the best, I'd have no problem. You know, I am the best. But there is also being in the right place at the right time, knowing the right people, positioning yourself in society and around different opportunities if you want to go big. And if you don't go big, you're not going to make the big money. And without the big money, you're not going to be comfortable living in New York. Like, I was not in a position to be a property owner there. I wasn't in a position to be financially brave and try to be an entrepreneur. It felt like I need something stable that I can count on every day there. Here, I feel like I have more breathing room. And the irony is that I'm making so much more money now that I'm working for myself and living in Dallas. Like, now I could afford something in New York, you know, but I don't wanna. I wanna be here. And that mindset that you gotta claw your way up thing that happened in New York that I kept seeing, it was isolating for me because I couldn't find anyone to just go have lunch with. And I didn't even have the time because I was working this job that I couldn't even take time away from. And it was in Brooklyn and people were somewhere else. And I just was feeling like, where are my people? Like, where are all the... I'm a people person.
Whereas you were looking for your sense of belonging, probably. And yeah. I can't imagine because I ever since I met you, and obviously as I observe and study you and what you do, you know, for the benefit of others, you're such a people's person. So it's hard for me to imagine actually those circumstances where you're like, you know, this is not my environment. So I think what's important to highlight here is that you took a leap of faith, I think, of courage, of just really willingness to change your environment in which you were living and working with, because of your self-reflection process and everything else, you realize that this is not for you. And not everybody would be willing to have the guts and say, you know what? I mean, just like LeBron said, you didn't take your talents to Florida, maybe, but you took your talents to Dallas. so it's easier said than done. But I want to, you know, I want to learn more. How was that experience for you? Because you spent your whole life in New York. Mm-hmm. So after everything that you just transcribed, how was that transition, and what helped you really become here more accustomed with the local environment?
You know, it's interesting you talk about like the bravery and the leap, that whole thing. I'm not by nature a very brave person. I need a lot of proof. I need a lot of evidence. I need a lot of security in order to move freely. Like, I'm a very creative person, and even as an actor, and that was very hard for me as an actor, which I was professionally in New York City for 10 years. I was a professional actress. That's what I went to school for, was theater. And I had these two lives at once, being a professional actress and also working in e-commerce and marketing and branding communications. So that's another story. But the experience that I had coming from New York to Dallas was so easy because I already had this community on LinkedIn. And I came here because of that. Like, I didn't move here to see what happened. I moved here because I knew I could have a life here. I had hundreds of people who wanted to come and have lunch with me here. You just happened to be like one of the most awesome of them.
That's crazy. Wow. So I think it's hard to comprehend that when you speak about it, because I remember, you know, when I moved up here, it was for different reasons. It was athletics related, mm-hmm. You know, and there were people obviously in my life that helped me. But the fact that you said that there were so many people just perhaps encouraging you or waiting for your arrival, willing to partner up to collaborate.
It was beyond that. I mean, there's a behind the scenes chat message on LinkedIn, a group text that had started with LinkedIn Local Plano, where I had been invited to speak at their first event. And I came to that event and had this amazing time and bonded with these people. And I just knew, and that was in May last year. And I just knew this is where I'm supposed to be. I had already met all these people on LinkedIn, and I knew that I had this incredible amount of clicks that were happening with people who were on LinkedIn who happened to also live in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So I felt like, okay, my people for some reason are all in Dallas. But when I got here, when I got to this area, it was instantly like, oh, I'm home. Oh, I'm home. This is what I'm supposed to feel like. And it was like this weight had lifted. And the second my plane wheels touched back down in New York, that weight fell right back on my chest. And it felt like an elephant standing on me. And I was like, please take me back home. What's the soonest, best way I can get back there? And it was on my mind, but just kind of put a pin in it, you know? So for me, the bravery wasn't, let me go to Dallas and hopefully it'll work out. I knew I had business here. I had tons of like clients here, opportunities here. This chat thread behind the scenes that I was talking about, like people, it was called Lila to Dallas. Like it started as this LinkedIn Local Plano chat. And then Aaron Von Hennig renamed it Lila to Dallas. And he like started this campaign amongst our friends. Rachel Chang introduced me to a bunch of people who were interviewing me for jobs, you know, because I needed a job at the time in my head. But really people were rallying and saying, what do you need today? What do you need today? Like I had an army of people trying to get me here because of my engagement and the relationships I'd already built with them online, firmed up by just meeting up in person a couple of times. Mm-hmm. I had this already. It didn't need any bravery from me. The bravery for me was in just acknowledging that there could be more for me, that I didn't have to stay somewhere that I'd always been just because I'd always been there. Mm-hmm. That I didn't have to stay close to my family just because I felt that I would miss them. And in fact, like I've gone back, you know, every month or so or month or two to visit, and like it's been fine. It is a little different, but I need to live my life for me. And standing very strong in that realization, that mantra, like this has to be for me, that was so empowering. And that was where I needed to be brave, because I really hadn't ever given myself that permission before.
I'm so impressed. I honestly didn't know that. I didn't know that story, because I felt like for some reason I thought that you had a corporate opportunity that helped you make that leap or the jump or the actual move. I did not know that there was this movement of recruitment, basically, or like, you know, making sure that, you know, so many people, it appears that were, and some of our now fortunate mutual friends, but I just, you know, to me, it's stunning. It's like hard to comprehend what you created over time. And because of your labor of work and your engagement and how much value you added to people's lives, because of that, I felt like they just opened their hearts and there was a level of reciprocation instant. And that probably created this, I don't want to say safety net, but
absolutely. It was a safety net.
Somewhat
a level. It was a safety network, you know?
Safety network or some type of a level of comfort that when you move, you know, because people, let's say if somebody doesn't have the LinkedIn presence or an account, period, they face a move to a different town just like anybody else.
Yeah.
Just like they weigh their pros and cons. Okay, do I have a job? Do I need to sell the house, buy the house? Whatever the case is. So just typical general kind of, I guess, bullet points that are on our lists. But if you have what you had, I guess it's hard for me to imagine being that position, but it's probably like a no-brainer.
Oh, it was a no-brainer. I mean, I didn't have to look at any of those things. There was actually a near job offer.
Yeah.
I had gotten an email from somebody here in town in Dallas at one of the organizations that you and I both know. It's a big one.
Yeah.
And the offer was, here's what the salary is. If the commission structure is equitable, are you in? That was the email that I last had gotten. And I wrote back, yep, send it over. And then like a few days later, I got an email back. Hey, sorry, we decided to actually go with someone more connected here in Dallas. And it's just that was hilarious to me. Yeah. I was like, okay, let me know.
Sure.
Let me know who you found who's more connected in Dallas than I am.
That is
and like,
crazy.
I didn't live here yet, yeah. But I have deep connections here. And I just built them from afar.
Yeah.
I built them remotely online. I built them virtually. But it is that offline connection where I think I really shine from the heart, where just having conversations with you, you know, seeing, oh, here's the kind of guy who really is invested in building relationships from your first message. And then the kind of questions that you asked me, you know, when we sat down together, just showed such real interest in a person, not in, you know, what can you do for me? In fact, if anything, you were like, what can I do for you? And that's my attitude, but you just don't always see it. And it is one of the most compelling reasons to build a relationship, I think, with someone new, that they just make you feel like you're important. And I think we probably both did that with each other, like meeting one, like second one.
Yeah, yeah. I remember from our conversation, it was like, it was something that I rarely experience because, you know, I was having a conversation with someone recently that there's, you know, different geographical areas, different cultures, and different people, I think, get comfortable with someone sooner rather than later and open up and whatnot.
Yeah.
But with you, I felt like I kind of already knew you a little bit. I did my due diligence, my research, and I said, okay, what would be the best for the two of us, what type of topics, what type of a conversation? And the topic of communication is also very close to my heart, heart. And you know, I just felt like it just felt so natural. So, you know, I was just very grateful for the opportunity. Obviously, today I consider you a friend, beyond that. And I'm just thankful that, that happened because, you know, I don't think that this is where it by any means it stops, but it's going to continue. And, you know, and I'm looking forward to what you will accomplish with your platform, which that's what I want to dive into next. You've built something over time that I think it's how do I articulate this? One of the most powerful, enriching platforms that, and I feel like you've built it, but you're still like adding bricks every day to it.
Oh, yeah.
And you're creating.
I'm going way bigger and I'm developing.
And I don't even know, like, I have a hard time imagining what this will look when it's completed, because I've been to a lot of trainings, you know, on different topics, whether it's sales, whether it's, you know, like when I was in school, they teach you different in grad school and whatnot, but your training, your methodology, and I want you to talk about it more, is so hands-on, is so immediately transferable to anything that you do. That, and we went through a little a group engagement recently where I just saw that everybody just sees value instantly. So coming from your theater background, e-commerce, marketing, you know, expert, you all of a sudden just blended everything together and you were like, you know what? I'm just going to launch this concept that is so simple, say things better. So how did that come about? And I want to know what's your final like objective for that. Where do you think this is headed as a concept?
I mean, I can start there. Start with the end in mind, like any good business plan.
Yeah.
I want to save the world. I want to empower a whole world of intentional communicators, because I think that that is how I save the world. The group that you're talking about, the Say Things Better Mastermind, is doing it again right now. We had done ours a month and a half ago, and I've got a new group now. And we had this call today that was just so stunning. I challenged two introverts on this call to use their verbs, which are part of my method that I'll talk about, to help each other in a moment where they were both very vulnerable. And I just sat back and watched the training come to life. And I'm crying now thinking about it. The other people on the call who witnessed it, we were all in the chat part of Zoom saying, like, there are tears in my eyes. This is beautiful. This is unlike any other thing I've ever seen. I can't believe the impact. And it was just because I asked them to be intentional in their communication and because I had trained them to do that through Say Things Better. And this was a moment that could have just started out like, hey, you know, I'm, you know, having a hard time, like, feeling secure with myself. Oh, well, me too. Okay, bye. But because they were intentionally communicating and using their verbs, which were an active expression of their personal values, they were able to get through to each other in a way that was so powerful and moving. I just will never forget it. And to me, it was a moment that made me feel so validated and affirmed for this work. So I'll go back a little bit. I mean, that's the end, is that please, I want to continue to have moments like this. But so I grew up in New York City. You know, I was born and then what happened, right? So I was born in Manhattan on the Upper West Side. And even when I was still like in my mom, I was feet first in position, like I would not budge. I was like, no, this is how it's going to be. And so they all say I tried to come out dancing. And my mother, you know, ended up having a cesarean section delivery because I just was like, this is how I'm going to be. This is just it. I will tell you how I'm going to stand. And that's pretty much how I've been my whole life. I will tell you the better way of doing things. And my way is right. And, you know, that can look like a know-it-all or, as my family calls me, an opinionista. But I was pretty sure that feet first was way to grow, was the way to go and the way to grow. And I hit the ground running. I mean, I was walking, running really quickly as a baby and running around the house, creating things. As a little kid, playing with blocks in a different way than other kids were. I would play with blocks and build structures, but they would build up and I would build out, way far out. I wanted to build the whole world. And I would take over the whole living room with my wooden blocks. And I would pull in pillows and I would pull in coats and scarves and tissues and anything I could get my hands on and incorporate it into the scene. And I saw the vision. I saw everything that was supposed to be there. And I was a tiny tot. And this is how I live my whole life. Expansive, big. Nothing has ever felt like a limit to me. And then eventually, as I got older, I kind of lost some of the sense of how big I could go if I were really left to my own devices. I just didn't know what those devices were, because as you grow up, people try to put you in these boxes and you learn a program in school that has like a recommended list of careers to follow that major. And so you end up doing these things or you end up doing those things. But where's the exploration? Where's the discovery? For me, it took going through 10 years of acting professionally after getting a theater degree. And I was acting my whole life, you know, but I spent 10 years getting paid for it and doing really well and getting good reviews and working with awesome theater companies and traveling around the United States of America as an actress on tour. And I had a good life like that, kind of, but it wasn't the life for me. When we talk about UMAP, there are these four pillars of career satisfaction, and you've had yours done too by the creator, Kristen Sherry. And my strengths were totally active when I was acting, except for really strategic, unless you look at the way that I was directing. But as an actor, like, I couldn't really use that businessy part of my brain. And I couldn't really use developer strength either, because there wasn't anybody for me to coach. I was just there to communicate. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It used enough of me that I felt it was where I was supposed to be. And a lot of actors need day jobs. You know, acting is expensive and it requires you to be very flexible. Okay, I can go to an audition in an hour. And so a lot of actors find jobs as wait staff, bartenders. And I happened to find a job at a little lingerie store in the East Village. And they were flexible with me as much as they could. Probably because I did really well in sales for them. Mm-hmm. And I just was the top in sales. And they kept saying, like, yeah, come back. You want to go on a show? Come back. Like, sure, we'll have hours for you. So it worked out. But then that, like, finding that day job ended up evolving into what would look like somebody else's regular career trajectory. Mm-hmm. Retail store, went from the lingerie store to a shirt store. Part-time still, because I was acting, offered full-time with that shirt store when I suggested to them that my lingerie company experience would help me get these shirts that were fit by bra sizes into lingerie stores. So I was connecting my own dots and kind of building my own ladder, my own way up in this way. So retail that then turned into these trunk shows that turned into wholesale agreements, shop in shops, events to promote these products that I was doing, and then all of the customer facing brand communication, customer service templates and managing departments. And it scaled into, then I was in this company in New York City, a footwear company called DNA Footwear. And I was there running the customer service department, and then had an opportunity to go into e-commerce operations when the guy who was doing it left with like a minute's notice. And my CEO at the time was like, you know what, Lila, you can do it. And I said, are you crazy? You crazy? Like, I'm not the tech person. I'm not the behind the technology person who figures out API integrations. I'm an actress who happens to also do communication stuff. And he's like, no, you can do it. So what I learned was, yes, I can do it. And I hate it. So it was really cool, though, to know that, like, even though something wasn't my strengths, I could accomplish it. But I know now if I just stay where my heart feels full, I get so much farther and I have so much more of an impact and I'm happier as a person. So that job turned into director of e-commerce and communications. And so, like, then I had reached, you know, in my early 30s, a point in my career that people who weren't also having a parallel full-time career as a creative professional would have had. So I have this regular job trajectory and I had my acting career. And when I started feeling unfulfilled in acting and I retired from it and stopped doing it, I felt like, okay, I can invest more in what was at the time my marriage. I can take time to be with friends and family. I can go have like dinner with people, like all these plans I had for myself. But I was so exhausted by the end of the day working in this e-commerce business. It just was sapping the life out of me because it wasn't the kind of work I was supposed to be doing either. So then I just ended up with no creative fulfillment, really, in a place I shouldn't have been, not activating my values, not using my strengths. And I felt like kind of desperate. And I didn't know what to do or where to look for things like this. You know, I would ask my friends, but most of my friends were from theater. What are they going to tell me when I say, I don't want to be in theater anymore? You know, have you ever made a transition like that where your group of friends is all like athletes maybe? And then
I was just going to say that
they don't get it.
We experienced probably a similar difficulty from being an athlete to a real world example. So I can empathize with that for sure.
How do your conversations change with people like when they don't know you as the athlete anymore?
Well, as an athlete, I feel like you think you can conquer the world. Because you just, you know, have an enormous amount of confidence. You're with a group of brothers or sisters, you mm-hmm. know, woman and obviously man, just depending, you know, what sport or whatever you play. But everything, we just feel like if we're athletes, we can also do anything else. Like it's going to be given, or perhaps it's going to be an easy transition, or we earned our status by being an athlete, so we are also deserving of X, Y, or Z. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that that's the case, obviously. That's not how the world works. And I had that reality check when I was graduating because I felt like I was deserving of this job.
Like entitled?
Like, hey, I played ball here, so somebody will hire me and I don't have to work hard to get a job. Mm-hmm. And then I hit the wall very quickly. And I had to, you know, humble myself very, very fast and realize that, you know, that the transition isn't going to be as easy as your transition. So
my transition into Dallas was easy. My transition out of acting
was
miserable.
What was the most challenging?
People didn't know how to talk to me anymore. Everybody used to say, like, even in my family, I would be at, you know, a family dinner for a holiday, and people who used to see me once or twice a year, right? But like people I love, you know, and I'm close with, but they're not around me all that much. So their opening line is usually, so what shows are you doing? And then when I would say, like, actually, I retired from acting. First of all, you have to remember, like, I've done this my whole life. This is the identity that they have for me.
Yeah.
So it's like I basically told them, hi, I'm a stranger. Talk to me.
Like you have a different identity all of a sudden. Yeah. Yeah. So how are you able to, I don't want to say win them over, but like help them realize what's your new value proposition, perhaps?
I don't think they did.
No?
I don't think that ever happened when I was not acting and I was just in e-commerce, because they knew me well enough to know that it didn't make sense for someone with passion like mine and creative energy like mine to be doing a job like what I had. And I kept trying to defend it, you know, because this was my life.
Yeah.
These were the choices I had made. So, and of course, I've always been so self-assured, right? Even from before birth, this is the way that I've made my decisions. And so they must be right. And it didn't occur to me. It honestly didn't occur to me that I could be wrong about where I was going. So when I was thinking about what's next for me, I was imagining what bigger e-commerce company can I go to? What maybe go back to the lingerie industry within e-commerce, mm-hmm. because I loved that stuff so much and I was passionate about the products. And it still was a limit, but I didn't realize it. But all the people who knew me really well, they got kind of distant and didn't know quite how to approach me. And then I found what I was supposed to be doing.
Was it, so you mentioned ladies named Kristen Sherry, obviously, who you know obviously extremely well. I had a privilege to get to know her the last couple of months. Were you able to discover that path because of her, or that was perhaps a different set of events that helped you get there?
It was both. So one of the things that I did when I was looking for that next bigger e-commerce whatever, mm-hmm. was to go on LinkedIn and first just look at the job descriptions to make sure that I was doing everything that would be expected of someone in my position, because I had been thrown into it. So my response to that was, I don't know what I need to know, so I'm going to learn everything. So I put myself through boot camp. I got training in every one of the softwares that we were using. I was able to completely re-platform us and do a redesign twice of the website. I made custom API integrations with, like, the things that I now am saying that I did still sound to me like someone else did this, because yeah. It's so not me. And yet it was totally me. And I was totally a boss of that, you know, but it was just,
I was looking for something. I think it was a strength of yours from the beginning, but it took your boss, that leader that all of a sudden lost someone, to empower you and say, you know what? You're more than capable of doing that. And I think that's, and you were like, what? Communications? Like this.
Well, he was right. I could do it.
Yeah.
But he was wrong in that I shouldn't have been doing it. It wasn't the right fit for me. And he did end up with employee turnover, you know, because it wasn't where I was supposed to be at my most joyful. And fulfilled and powerful and superpowered.
Yeah, I guess at the time he just had a need to fill
and
the
job. And he trusted me.
Correct. Yeah. And you were the right person for the job.
I certainly was the closest.
Yes. Well, but
you did things. I could do it.
You did things that he perhaps, that you perhaps thought you wouldn't do. And he knew it from the get-go. And then along the way, you've realized, okay.
Well, that's an interesting point, because it does take somebody else sometimes to observe strengths in us that we take for granted in ourselves, like things that we just think everybody can do. Like the fact that I have strategic as one of my top five strengths really enabled me to think far in advance of and really quickly of everything that we would need to do in order to have a fully functioning e-commerce site and just all kinds of things in that department. But it wasn't the right thing. And so I went on LinkedIn and I was looking at these job descriptions just to see if there was something I was missing out on that I should be doing that maybe would make me happier. Mm-hmm. And then when I was there, I was like, well, what else is there? Who else is hiring? Let me see what companies there are. And I, had a few interviews and some recruiters reached out to me. So I started sharing more in the comments on what I saw other people posting, like articles. Some individuals would post. I had a small network, like 400 something. And then it was as soon as I started commenting on stuff, it grew to like that 500 plus that it shows on your profile. Yeah. Like, ooh, 500 plus. We don't know how many they have. Now, but it was something that happened pretty quickly as I started engaging in the comments. And then this thing happened where, because I was talking about stuff I knew, all this value that kind of had been sitting on the shelf collecting dust got taken down and expressed and made an impact on somebody else somewhere in the world. Not necessarily where I was in New York City, but like Shua Thompson is in Africa. Chinadu Ihekwaba is in Africa. Fiona Young is in Hong Kong. Mary Henderson is in Australia. Jason Guest is in Australia. Lacey McDowell is in Montana. Like Katie Wallace and Aaron Hennig were in Dallas. And I mean, people from all over the world I was starting to meet just by commenting on stuff. And they are the ones who said to me over and over and over again when I would write these comments, and sometimes I write multi-paragraph comments because I clearly am verbose.
It hasn't changed.
No, that's me. I've always been like super talkative, and it's because I have both woo and communication in my top five strengths.
Well, I think it comes from those expensive building blocks in your childhood.
Yes.
Those building blocks and those platforms that you were building are equivalently large to your comments.
Wow, I have to tell my mother you said that, and my father, like, they'll
And that's a compliment.
I get it.
I honestly...
To expand, right?
Your level of... And I'm sorry, I just have to get it before I forget. Your level of engagement, commenting with purpose, always related to the topic, because there's so way people try to cheat the system and whatnot and just be like, hey, good job, period, or exclamation mark. But you truly take the time to read everybody's post or message or watch the video article, and then you would engage and provide. You said something that you're an opinionista. Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's a bad thing, because the way you express yourself and like the way you comment on people's posts and the content that they develop is so like natural and comes from the heart. It's so genuine. So it doesn't come off of like clearly as egoistic or aggressive or like I know it all by any means.
You
just have a very
just have a lot of opinions.
Excuse me?
I just have a lot of opinions.
Yeah, but that's okay. I mean, those opinions are not hurting anyone's lives. You're just very expressive.
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, how else can you build a relationship with someone when people in a lot of times post their content because they probably look for their sense of belonging, mm-hmm. or they want to connect with more people because they don't get a chance to do it in New York or other places. And then they pop into this Lila Smith of the world the versions of Lila in other parts of the world. And then, they look and like, oh my God, this lady took like this has taken probably at least 10 minutes of her day to write two long paragraphs.
And it doesn't.
So you,
it looks like it does, but it takes me very little time.
Well, I know, because it's automatic, because you've been doing this for so long. And I think.
And now people pay me for my opinions. They want my consultation.
Yes.
And it just hadn't occurred to me that this could be a thing that people pay for. I've always done this. You know, I've always had opinions about things and strategies for people and suggestions for how they could make more money or how to phrase something in a way that would be understandable to somebody else. I've always done this my whole life. I just took it for granted so much. I had no idea it was a thing that people would admire. No one ever said anything to me about it.
And I think another thing that is important to highlight is you don't only comment on obviously people in your network, but you would just see a post that you, for some reason, it would resonate with you and you would just, that's how you build your community from the beginning.
Yeah.
And people that will encourage you to come here to Dallas. And I think that's such an undervalued power behind this tool and other social media tools, because people can really change the trajectories of their life if they really start doing something that is more action oriented, right? Because if we just look at LinkedIn and scroll and or Instagram or Facebook or whatever, and don't engage in any capacity or don't find out who stands behind that content, we will never, I think, be able to obtain the actual impact of it.
Right.
That could unfold. So I think many people would feel probably uncomfortable to do it, or like, oh my God, he's a stranger. He's not in my network. I shouldn't comment. Or I meet people, I don't want to say on a daily basis, but sometimes they express concerns to even accept a connection because, oh, like I never met him. Oh, well, I don't like this or I don't like that. I'm very like, I like to keep my circle small. So you've gone above and beyond, but clearly, number one, you're more than okay. You have, seems like, discovered yourself, build a successful business. People pay you a lot of money for your coaching, your consulting, your advisory. It is my understanding when I walked in here today, you told me that there's a waiting list to be in your group.
The next group is in September. So there's a waiting list and I haven't opened it yet. You know, I'm in a very fortunate position.
That speaks so much volume. And every single time you post something, I feel like there's this, like, I don't know. How can I compare this to? It's something I've never seen. It's like, I think you have such command. It was one of my
That's one of your top five strengths.
Yeah, top five strengths. But I think you have a commanding presence. People just look up to you as like, okay, Lila has something to say. We all ought to listen because our time will not be wasted in any capacity if we consume what she has to say.
Thank you.
I don't see it only because of the comments or the likes, but the level of engagement in every single person. Like sometimes I look at the post and there's one sentence here, one sentence there, but people actually almost reward you for what you've done to them. And I see paragraphs in your, and I'm like, this is unbelievable. Like, and I actually tried, like, I'm not a, I'm trying to like analyze this and like, this is just going on another level. So, you know, I'm just so happy for you. Like I think you deserve every bit of success that is ahead of you.
Thank you.
This communication method-based, say things better is I think this is only the beginning. I think you're just scratching the surface.
For sure.
I think we should touch real quick about something that you actually encouraged me to do it. It's the UMAP with Kristen. Can we talk about a little bit for the context? Because we mentioned that multiple occasions.
And this was the thing. So I had this whole community of people saying, hey, you're a really good communicator. Hey, you're a really good communicator. Hey, you're a really good communicator. Could you help me put this into words? Can you help me look at my brand? People were looking at my comments and my occasional posts, and they were giving me feedback en masse, like tons of people. I had to be like hit over the head with the fact that I guess I was a good communicator like 500 times before I even realize that there was like anything hitting me, you know, if it was a pan hitting me in the head, I wouldn't even have known I had a pan in the kitchen. Like that's how far removed from my own value I was. And that was a sad place to be. So I didn't have my community from acting anymore, really. And I didn't have a lot of my close friends had moved away and my family didn't really understand what I was doing. I wasn't happy in my marriage. I wasn't happy in my job. I wasn't happy. And I was a person who was always happy. I have positivity in my top five strengths.
Absolutely, yes.
And I'm like sunshine. I love to be happy. And so for me, this was a very foreign thing. And when I started feeling that validation from the community on LinkedIn, I started spending more time there because it felt good. I was like, whatever this is, I want more of it. And I met Kristen Sherry in the community on LinkedIn. And I saw her posts about UMAP and about her career coaching. And I bought her books, Follow Your Star, which is about her mother, who's a coach as well, Judy, who's incredible. And just some lessons that she learned from her, How to Land the Job That You Want in 5 Surprising Steps, I think is the name of her other book. And I got that for like a bunch of people as presents. And I got it for myself just because I just loved her work so much. And I was a big fan. So we had connected and I was following all her stuff and engaging in comments. And I said, you know, Kristen, I feel like there's more for me. And you seem to be talking about a way to get there. What is it? What is it that you're talking about? What are you doing? So she explained to me the 4 pillars of career fulfillment: strengths, values, preferred skills, things you're good at that you've learned and you like doing them, and the way that you're wired. Now, the way that I'm wired is a type called the performer. It's artistic and enterprising at the same time, which explains the 2 different parts of my brain that were acting and business. I mean, it explains everything about my whole life. My UMAP does. If you look back at like pick one strength and one value, I can tell you a story that comes from my life that would be all about that. My values, my personal values for community, for fun, for taking action. Like these are the things that mean something to me. Love and connection, and my personal value for creativity. You can see these things throughout my life. And you can look at my preferred skills, things that I like doing. So it goes for me as far as I like writing short form content and I like writing long form content when I am artistically inspired, but not for business. So I get all these insights from my UMAP about what I should be doing and what I shouldn't be doing if I'm going to be successful. My personality-based career interests, the performer, my strengths, which my top 5 strengths are communication, putting things into words really easily and connecting with people on a story level, winning others over, which is woo, which is how, like, when you watch my videos and you say I've got a command, that's what you're seeing is woo. You're seeing me connect to all the tens of thousands of people watching a video at once. And I've got positivity, which is what it sounds like, developer, which is coaching other people into a better version of something for themselves and recognizing those small improvements along the way, and strategic. So these parts of me, these strengths have to all be in use for me to be really fulfilled in my career. And Kristen showed me that. And with this knowledge about my skills, my values, my strengths, and the way that I'm wired, it kind of told a story. And she also knew me from LinkedIn. So she looked at my UMAP and she looked at everything I'd been doing. And she said, you know, it kind of looks like you're supposed to be a communication coach or consultant. And I was like, that's cute, Kristen, but I need a job. I live in New York. Things are expensive here. And she's like, well, you don't have to live in New York. I live in Charlotte. Why don't you come down here? And it was just so sweet. But like it was a pin that I put into something for later. And I'd come back to it. And I did. Like the more that I would comment on stuff, the more I would feel comfortable being my whole self. And then this thing happened where I realized I had built this whole community and they didn't have any idea that I'd been in theater, that I had had 10 years of my life in this profession, that it was so much a part of who I had always been my entire life. And I realized they don't know it because I have been hiding it. Just in case some e-commerce recruiter looked at my profile and then wouldn't take me seriously because I'd been an actress, I just consciously a little bit, but mostly unconsciously, just had only been valuing my regular business experience. I hadn't been valuing my theater experience. And when I started feeling more confident about the whole picture of myself, my UMAP, I started feeling more confident about everything. And then the dots were connecting and I was making sense as a person, and all the things that I'd ever done kind of lined up in these stories. And the stories told this, they painted this picture. My stories painted this picture of a person who had a direction, and the direction was clear and people were already asking for it. So I started doing brand consulting on the side. It's like a side hustle. And as I was doing this and embracing the theater, I started posting about it and saying, you know, there are things that people in theater can offer to people in the business community. Anybody interested in talking about this? And actually, yeah, people started coming out of the woodwork, not just fellow actors or fellow artists, but people in business who felt maybe they could use some creativity shot into their lives.
Of course.
And I had all of these skills, all of these tools I had learned in acting that helped us communicate a story that someone else had written by pulling our own story out of ourselves and intentionally connecting it to the other actors on stage and to the people in the audience. It's the same work. It's the very same work that I was doing in branding. So I started using that work to help me in that work. I started using my acting tools to help me in my brand communication and consultation work. And as I was doing that, I saw results that were way more powerful than just leaving it to chance and doing some research. That using these tools that actors have had forever was really amplifying my results and my clients' results. So I started checking it out. What is it? Do I have something here? And I did have something. I had the Say Things Better method, and I kind of explored it in the pages of this book that I had that Amy Blachka and Bruce Kasanoff had written. I met them both on LinkedIn, called I Am, this series of first person affirmative statements with lots of room to doodle. So I had my markers, I was coloring through the pages of the book and writing out my ideas. And step one, you know, like the super objective an actor has to find for a character in a play that tracks their journey from beginning to end, what's their main goal for all of that? Like, that's my motivation in life. So step one, find your motivation. What is it that's going to keep you accountable to intentional communication, to getting it right, to connecting with people, and to being a little bit more on purpose, as you said, with more action in your communication? That's that step one. What would you say your step one is, like your motivation?
I think I think what it is, it's an internal motive, to make an impact, not only in the workplace or on the team that I'm on, but I think in the community. I think that was my, UMAP kind of, statement or outcome that I always seek, proactively, almost aggressively to an extent, because I'm so action oriented.
You have command, so yes. You almost can't help it. And you're 7 feet tall, so people notice you.
I hate wasting time and resources, and I just want to make sure that we take advantage of what we have at our disposal and create an impact for the betterment of others. And obviously, you know, if we get fortunate to get taken care of along the way, great.
Yeah.
But I think one should be, you know, action oriented, more than anything else, because if you're not, what's the purpose of like having a meeting, or like what's the purpose of having an engagement or a consulting session, coaching session, whatever the case is.
So. Well, some people, you know, what's interesting is that your UMAP makes it clear why you feel that way. Some people have, you know, their top strengths might be empathy, relator, kind of different like thinking themes as opposed to executing themes, mm-hmm. in their top five strengths. Thinking and relating, not necessarily influencing, Influencing also is a form of action, but it's not the same kind of action as executing. So I'm going to take an action to have a conversation with someone. And I hope that that conversation itself is the action, is the impact. But somebody with a lot of these executing strengths, these are the people who want to see stuff get done. And they want to see people achieve something. They want to see them go for a goal and get it. They want to see, and not just for themselves, but for the people around them too, like you do. You're like, let's get some things accomplished out of this. Let's all of us get some things accomplished out of this.
Well, 100%. 100%. Yeah. You know, I want to encourage everyone, definitely, if you haven't connected with Lila yet, you should, for various reasons. If you haven't been inspired based on that conversation alone, then I hope her profile, her LinkedIn profile, will inspire you. I was just looking at her connections, and I think it is my understanding LinkedIn limits you after 30,000. You cannot add anyone anymore after, but you can just follow. So
yeah, but I'm not even close to that.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not. It looks like I am.
You would just have followers?
I have a lot of people who are just following me.
Following.
Yeah, I have thousands of open connections still. Well, so I would prefer that people connect with me.
I thought sometimes I get it twisted. There's so many different numbers associated with LinkedIn, but nevertheless,
point. Well, that's what people are going to think, right? That like I'm not going to be able to connect anymore. So I'd love for people to reach out and connect. If they're listening to this podcast, then they're already someone who has been pre-qualified as someone interested in growth, self-development, exploration, success, community, networking. Any one of those things means that you have a value that I share. And so I would love to connect with those people.
One of the most genuine, I think, authentic, well-spirited, and just really, you know, we were talked about the word impact or action oriented, but I feel like through your work, I hope you realize how many people you are touching, affecting, because it's noticeable, even as an observer, somebody that has never met you. I mean, you don't have to be a genius to look at this and say, okay, like this lady is doing something. And I would say, you know, to summarize our conversation, you have to, if you think you cannot get something done, or perhaps you're in a funk, you just told me that you changed your life based on making comments on people's posts.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Which is mind blowing to me. So if anybody that is listening has a reason to complain or do something, I think it's important, so that way you self-reflect, reevaluate that situation, perhaps find your people, whether it's through making comments or else, but the people that trust you and listen to you, and then maybe you can reevaluate your situation and find the path of happiness, of joy, of fulfillment, and... Yeah, and who knows, maybe you will end up in front of Lila Smith that can also enrich your
I'd love it.
Enrich your communication skills and methods. So definitely connect with Lila. It's linkedin.com/in/Lila Smith. I'm very thankful that you were just so generous today to spend some time with me today. I look forward to releasing this episode, and I'm just looking forward. I'm pumped. I'm excited. Like, you're one of those people that I'm genuinely looking forward to see you prosper and grow, because I feel like you're going to write several books. You will work with some big brands, whether you believe it or not, but you I'm sure you already are, but I'm talking about, like, you know, Fortune 100, Fortune 500, 100, whatever the case is.
There's some pretty exciting things coming up. I am definitely excited to share them with you, because you've been saying this since the day you met me.
And I'm totally, like, I always say this. I don't know, like,
You're a prophet.
I read it because I just study the person and just observe what they do. I just love to sit down and observe. And I think you're one of those people that is going places, and it makes me so excited to see it, to see you grow, to see you find your path, empower others along the way. And most importantly, you do it in such a genuine way, by empowering others, by helping them, by advising, by coaching, by consulting. And I think, you know, one of my mentors said that you know, a few years ago to me, you essentially become a byproduct of that, how many people you help in your life and how many, how much impact you create for the benefit of others. And I feel like you don't have to worry about it at all because it's going to continue to grow and yeah, just so pumped for you and looking forward, you know, to see what's next for you on the horizon.
Thank you. You know, just like final thoughts, just the people that you have around you, the people that you choose to spend your time with, whether you're in school or you're in your career or you just meet people or your circle of friends, they really make a big difference for what you're able to achieve because they make a big difference for what you hear, like what the voices are that you hear. And your voice just now saying, I think you have several books in you, right? You could not have known this, but there's a guy I just talked with pretty recently, well-established, you know, in this community. And he wanted to have me on like a show kind of thing. And we were talking, it was our first conversation. And he was like, so I don't understand, like, why don't you have a book? And I explained to him, you know, I tried to explain the actual story, which is that, you know, it's kind of a burnout skill for me to write long form stuff, but that I was going to maybe be working with a book coach or, you know, ghostwriter or something to take the words out of my head and put them into something that I can have a book with. And I explained, I actually have about 5 books in my head. And he was like, yeah, talk to me when you've got even one. Like that doesn't, it's like you telling me that you want to go to the moon, you know, that you're going to have 5 books. Okay. And I was like, this is our first conversation and you're telling me that you think I can't achieve 5 books? Like I can write 10 or 20 with the right set of circumstances with my UMAP awareness. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So to be around someone like you who, like, without even knowing that this guy said that, and I mean just said that, to say to me on this podcast as we're filming it, or, you know, we're recording, you've got, you know, several
books
in you. And
you were a guest on this podcast?
Or? No, it was a show that will be coming up, and either I'll do it or I won't. And I have to still think about it.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, this was my first call with him, and he was like, that doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. No, and
people, I'm like, you don't make any sense.
Of course. People bring you down. I mean, people will say things perhaps because they see something in you that they don't see in themselves.
And or they don't see it as possible. Like if it's not in themselves, it can't possibly be possible, right?
No, but it's also a defense mechanism. Like it's, they know who you are. They know what you stand for. They know how successful you already are and will be even more, as a result of which they analyze it. They compare themselves. Okay, I wish I could be like her, but perhaps I'm not. So what am I going to do is throw some shade because I feel like it will make me feel better to compensate of how I'm feeling for the other reasons.
Yeah.
Maybe that was his motive. I mean, I'm not sure, but it's just,
I think his motive was to mentor. I think that he really had the best of intentions. And
it sounded to me like it wasn't. I mean, unless I didn't hear the words or perhaps how he
were the words.
The way he was articulating it.
Those are exactly the words.
Maybe he was
you telling me that you're going to write 5 books when you don't even have one is like you telling me you're going to go to the moon.
Well, maybe it he was what he meant to verbatim. Say is like, you know, don't climb the Mount Everest before you, you know, start hiking. You know what I mean?
Yes, that is exactly what he meant.
Okay.
And I'm like, you know what? Okay. I'm totally capable of climbing 7 Mount Everests.
Yeah.
If that's what I decide to train to do, then that's absolutely what I'm going to do.
I would not.
It's just a mindset thing, right? It's, I have,
I hope
now,
this doesn't like bother you or anything like that.
It did bother me. But that's why it's important to have friends like you in my corner, in my circle, who without even being asked, breathe life into me. Without my having to bring up the situation, you just know what I'm capable of. And you make a point of intentionally communicating to make sure that I know I'm capable of everything you see in me. Because it's important to you that the people in your circle reach their potential. So I value that so much about our friendship and just being able to have people like you around me who think as big as I do. And one of the reasons I moved to Dallas was to be around that. And you embody that 100%.
I'm not sure what to say. It must be, thank you, number one. But I don't necessarily think about it. Maybe it's subconscious.
You don't have to think about it. It's a strength. You know,
perhaps,
you,
yeah.
You have a vision of the future and a vision of impact and a significance when you're in a room. And you see everybody in that room as significant, as being a part of the big picture. You see everybody as having a story. That's why you do these life stories podcast, because you see everybody's story as so massively important and everybody's potential as so expansive and extreme. And you want to highlight for them and for your audience, for all of your listeners, how much potential there is in every single one of us if we just think about our story as proof where we've already come from and where we can absolutely go.
Thank you so much. I didn't expect to end on that note, but I don't want to, I know your time is valuable. I really want to, you know, wrap it up here. I really appreciate you. I look forward to releasing this, really promoting this episode, you know, being your friend, your supporter, and you know, I'm here. I'm always here if you ever need anything. And
when you're not in Bali.
Whatever. When we're looking forward to growing together. I feel like, you know, I it is my understanding you're not moving anytime soon.
No, so. I'm not.
Yeah,
I'm so traveling all over, but I'm not moving.
So that's I'm excited about that. So thank you again for your time.
Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure, and I'm looking forward to chatting again soon.
Thank you for listening to The Tomas Show. Please subscribe and share.
Hey guys, thanks so much for listening to this episode with Lila Smith. If you enjoyed it, please send me a message and let me know what in particular you liked and what you disliked perhaps. It's okay to say that as well. I'm constantly improving and want to bring immense amount of value to all the listeners. So please reach out to me and do not hesitate to bring up any great ideas that you may have. Cheers.